Hari Om. In our last class, we saw the Mangala Shloka, where Swayam Prakashiti Ji begins by remembering the Atma, by remembering that Brahman, which is Nityam, Nirantaranandam, Chidghanam. Like that is the description given in the scriptures. And who is this? Ahamasmi. I am that. So that is the most important part. Then prostration to Ishta Devata, who is Lord Shiva. Then salutations to the Guru, Guru Kaivalyananda. Then Shuddhananda. And then Satchidananda. So these could be the gurus in the parampara or his own guru. So to him, prostration, and then he begins the text. Now the connection for the first verse. Why is Lakshmidhara Kavi, who is the poet of the Advaita Makaranda, why is he writing? What is the purpose for him to write this Advaita Makaranda? And by that, what is the purpose for us to read this Advaita Makaranda? Because the writer can write for whatever reason, but ultimately, the reader is the one reading. And therefore, it has to interest the reader by their way. So to explain why this is interesting for the reader to read, gives the connection to the first verse. It says that there is somebody named Lakshmidhara Kavi. And this Lakshmidhara Kavi is writing this Advaita Makaranda for some Shishya. Who are these Shishyas? They are, he calls it as Aparitushyata. They're not satisfied. They have done many things, but none of those things have given them the result that they're looking for. And because of that, they're not satisfied. So what are the many things that they've done? So he describes all of that first. So the first thing that these Shishyas did is they did karma. So they did karma means they followed the nitya naimittika. Those bounden duties, those duties which are adjoined to us because we identify with our likes and dislikes, because we identify ourselves in this samsara in some way. Then because of that, we are adjoined some actions. And these actions are not desire-prompted actions. So we call them as nitya naimittika. Okay. So they started doing that. There they started with the bhava of karma. Then from that performance of action, due diligence of action should arise sadhana chatushtaya. Viveka, Vairagya, Samadhi, Shikha, Sampatti, Mumukshutva. We sometimes think that I have to specifically sit down and practice Viveka. I have to sit and I have to tell myself, this is Nitya, this is Anitya. This is Nitya, this is Anitya. But sometimes life lessons itself can tell us something is Nitya, something is Anitya. And the wise are those who learn from these mistakes. This is Anitya. because it is temporary. So from that, already the practice of nitya nitya started. And then one who learns that anitya is not to be pursued after, and you drop it. Vairagya came. So vairagya is to let go of the anitya and to stay with nitya. And in that performance of action itself, we are making our inner instrument strong. Desire comes, but I am told myself, I have to perform my duty, perform my action. So then that desire has to be subdued. The desire has to be controlled. And when that happens, desire for freedom, desire for liberation arises. So they're all interlinked. That's the point. So these students, they have done nitya naimittika karma. They have accomplished sadhan chatushtaya. And they have now developed the desire for knowing the self. Atma vividisha. So burning desire to know what is the nature of the self. This has also come about. And when this comes, when we have this burning desire, then all actions of the Vedic injunctions and Laukik, worldly duties, or what the scriptures have prescribed as the duty to be followed, are no longer valid. And they can be dropped. So Laukik Dharma and Vaidik Dharma, both are given up. By given up doesn't mean that the person is giving up to go to an island and just stay on the island and eat bananas. That's not the point. The purpose of giving up is so that time can be utilized well for this pursuit of knowledge. Because the other things are taking away the time for allowing the mind to become calm. So by giving these extracurricular actions, they are able to place the mind in the self more. So that's why they give up. So they give up the Laukik Dharma and Vaidik Dharma. Now, having given up doesn't mean that you already find the answer. So then you approach a guru. So approach the lotus feet of the guru. That is what comes as a next step. And how the word used here is upasarpana purassara. Purassara means to move forward. Purassara means to move forward. Sarpana means to glide. So to glide near the guru's feet, which, you know, if you think about it, the way the wording is used, snakes, when they move, they glide. Okay? And that's kind of like the mental attitude when you approach a guru. That you do not become so comfortable with the guru that you start sitting with the guru for lunch and dinner and start making jokes. At least maybe not at the beginning when you just entered the guru's cottage. but you try and slowly accommodate to the guru's understanding. What is it that the guru likes and dislikes? What is it that the guru means when the guru says something? Sometimes there is a literal meaning, and sometimes there is a hidden meaning behind the literal meaning. And being able to pick that up is very much important. If the guru says, "Thank you for coming, it was very nice," that doesn't mean, if the guru didn't mean it, that doesn't mean that you go and sit in, you know, the chair and now start talking to guru. Maybe the guru said, "Okay, it was very nice. Now, next time, we'll talk about it." So you have to understand the cue that the guru would give and then be able to know, okay, when you are invited, when you are not invited. The idea is tuning has to happen with them. So the shishya goes to the guru and first tunes the mental strings, the mental energy with that of the guru. And then hears the knowledge of the Veda. Hears very well what is the essence of Vedanta, which is the knowledge of Jiva Brahma Vikya. This is what the guru is going to teach. And having heard this, there is asambhavana. We talked about this idea of asambhavana in our first class. Asambhavana means impossibility. But here the asambhavana is related to prameya. Prameya gata asambhavana. That is becoming the obstacle. What is prameya gata asambhavana? The doubt about Jiva Brahma Aikya knowledge. Is that really true? Jiva Brahma Aikya, is that really true? There is a doubt. And this impossibility, this doubt, is causing us not to accept my nature as Brahman. My true nature, which is Brahman, I am not accepting it, and I am considering myself to be the limited Jiva. This obstacle is what is making these students unsatisfied. So who is Lakshmidhar Kavi addressing? To these students who are like this, starting from all the way to living a disciplined life, to sadhana chatushtaya, to desire to know the self, to going and approaching the guru, getting the knowledge, still not able to find the answer that I am this jiva, I am this Brahman. These unsatisfied students, and Swayam Prakashati ji uses a very nice word. He says, dhaureyan upalabhya. Purusha dhaureyan. Dhaureyan means, this you will not find in the text. It is in the commentary. So dhaureyan means, you know, beast of burden, donkeys. And they carry a big load. Like that, these students are carrying this load of Vedanta in their head. Vedanta tells me, I have to do nitya, naimittika karma. I have to do viveka, vairagya, samadhi, shatka, sampatti. They are easily able to narrate this to everybody. What is Tattvabodh talking about? Tattvabodh is talking about these terminology. can easily tell. But there is a burden on their head. I am not satisfied by this. They're still not content. So these kind of students, for them, Lakshmidhar Kavi is filled with compassion. His heart is melted to see that these students who are trying very hard, but yet they are not able to see this truth. And he is wanting to make this knowledge available for them, like how Karatala Bilva Phala. You know, like Karatala means this palm. Karatala is a palm. Bilva Phala, the fruit, the berry fruit of the Bilva leaf or Bilva tree. That berry. When you place it, it is very clear for us that it is in my palm. Like that, making the knowledge as clear as that fruit on the palm of your hand. Okay. So crystal clear, not muddy clear, but crystal clear knowledge for that to arise in them. What is the crystal clear knowledge? That the Brahman which is explained in Vedanta. What is that Brahman? Sachidananda. That Sachidananda Brahman, who is Ananda Swarupa of the nature of bliss. Sarvagnya, all-knowing. Sarva Upadanam, the cause of all. Nityam, eternal. Sarvagam, all-pervasive. Advayam, non-dual. And Sakshi, witness. Witness of Deha, body, Indriya, senses, Prana, vital air, Mana, Buddhi, Ahankara. So in this way, the Vedanta has described Brahma. For the understanding, it makes sense. If somebody is told all pervasive, tell what is all pervasive. Then we say, okay, all pervasive means that which is in and through everything. Like space is in and through everything. Okay, space is in and through everything. Does that mean I am space-like? That I pervade in and through everything? What does that mean for me? Okay, you say eternal. I am eternal. What does that mean, eternal? How do I understand eternal? Likewise, Satchidananda. How do I understand Satchidananda? Existence, consciousness, bliss. So these terminologies have been clearly used in Vedanta to describe Brahman as all of these. But I have not made connection with them as me. So in order for this connection to happen, pratyak abhinnataya, I am not separate from this Brahman by using logic. Tarkaihi sambhavita. By using logic, Lakshmidhar Kavi is going to explain Advaita Mata. And what kind of shloka is this. So he says it is Ishtadeva Namaskar Rupamangala. So he starts, Lakshmidhar Kavi begins the text by first invoking the blessings from his Ishtadevata. And also to remove the doubts of the student who have done lots of effort in understanding what is Vedanta, but have come short. They've still not got that satisfaction that I know Brahman. By studying this text, they will come to know for sure, I am this Brahman. It is guaranteed like that. That is what he said. Do I need to have faith? No, I do not require faith. If you are a person of faith, you have to, when you study this Advaita Makaranda, just have to put your faith in temple. Because here, tarka is needed. Here we are required to use our logical understanding. If it doesn't fit our logical understanding, we have to ask a question. Why is this? Why does it not make sense? Because if it fits the logic, then I must be ready to accept the logic. Then I must be ready to say that, yes, this is true. But if it doesn't fit the logic, then there is a doubt. There's an asambhavana. And that asambhavana has to be clear. So this is the connection for why Lakshmidhar Kavi is beginning the text. Let's chant the first shloka and then we'll see the meaning. Kataksha kirana chanta naman mohabdhaye namaha anantananda krishnaya Jagan Mangalamurtaye Kataksha Kirana Chanta Naman Mohabdhaye Namaham Anantananda Krishnaya Jagan Mangalamurtaye. First, just the literal meaning. Kataksha. Kataksha means side glance. Aksha means eyes. Kata means sideways. So, sideway glance. Kirana, the sight, vision. So, kataksha kirana achanta. Achanta means dried up. Naman. So that full word, kataksha kirana achanta naman mohabdhaye. That is one full word. Naman, one who is prostrating. One who is surrendering. Moha abdhaye. Abdhi means ocean. And moha, delusion. So, these are all the breakdown of each word. Now you put it together. For the ones who prostrate, who surrender themselves, their ocean of delusion is dried up by the sight or a side glance of the Guru. Namaha, prostration. Like we say, right? Shivaya Namaha or Ramaya Namaha or Haraye Namaha. So like that. Let there be a prostration to the Guru who dries up the delusion for those who are prostrating, for those who are surrendering by mere sight, side glance of the Guru. The next word. Anantananda Krishnaya. Ananta, there is no anta, there is no end. Immense, infinite. Ananda, infinite bliss. And who is that? Lord Krishna. So Krishnaya Namaha. So prostration to Lord Krishna, who is infinite. Yes. And Jagat Mangala Murtaya. For one who is the Murti form of Mangala, auspiciousness. For the one, Jagat. So for one who is the auspicious form for the one is Adastration. So the three words are Kataksha Kirana Chantanaman Mohabdaye. Anantananda Krishnaya Jagan Mangala Murtaye Namaha Astu. This is the whole sentence meaning. Hear this one? Prostration to the Guru who, Guru or Bhagwan, both are same. As we saw in Dakshinamurti. Lord Dakshinamurti and Shri Guru Murtaye, Shri Dakshina Murtaye, Iyam Namaha. Like that, Guru, Bhagavan, same. But the side glance by which, for the one who surrenders, their moha is completely washed, completely destroyed. For the one who is the abode of supreme bliss, and one who is the form of auspiciousness for this world. Is my question. Now, the commentary where we see the beauty of Lakshmi Dharkavi, beauty of Lakshmi Dharkavi through the eyes of Swayam Prakashati. So here is what Swayam Prakashati says. See, when we say, why only side glance is necessary to remove this delusion. It says that side glance is to represent that Guru, your sight is on us. We are under your umbrella. So we are protected by you. You are looking over us. And that makes us feel comfortable. You know, we find children who are playing in the playground, right? And they are completely oblivious of the fact that parents are there. They are just so engrossed in it. But the parent who is there, they may be busy talking with somebody, but by the side glance, they have that eye on the kid. Okay, my kid is doing, I'm aware of what my kid is doing. If you were to move away from that place altogether, you will see the moment the child's vision falls and sees, my parent has gone, they will freak out. They will say, what happened? My parents left me. Where did they go? They'll start crying. It is a comfort for the Shishya that somebody is looking after me. Somebody has held my hand in this journey of unknown. And that comfort allows the student to not get frustrated, to not get dejected, to not want to leave the path because they find it so difficult. And the other way is, the Shishya is telling the Guru that I don't require your full attention because you are Jagat Mangalamurti, you are the form of auspiciousness to the world. So you have to look after the whole world. So I don't want your full attention. Because if I take full attention, then you will not be able to give attention to the world. Then those people who are crying, they will feel that I took away your attention. So I don't want full attention of yours. You just give your side glance. That will make me feel very happy. So this is the idea of Katacha Kirana Ashanta. Now, why is delusion compared to ocean? We say ocean of delusion. There are some similarities with ocean and with delusion. One is, when you are in the middle of the ocean, I'm sure everybody has gone on a cruise. So when you are on a cruise, you see nothing but water everywhere. Obviously, the cruise is not abandoned. But just imagine that you are on an abandoned ship and all you see is water everywhere. Which way will you go? Which way will you know is the right way where you can reach a shore? You can't just simply say, okay, I'll follow the direction of the sun because it will lead me to that. You don't know. You could be traveling all the way from one side, going all the way back to the Iceland and other area. You could have traveled the whole place and not hit a land. Or you've gone to, Arctic. It's so vast. You don't have an idea of a direction. In delusion also, it's the same. One who is deluded is torn, has no sense of direction where they have to go. Somebody who is wise enough to guide them, also they will shut them down. No, I don't want to listen to you. That's what delusion does. We'll hear the wise advice, but we will never implement that. Ocean of delusion. That is one reason. Another is, there are lots of waves in the ocean. First reason is, it is difficult to cross. Second is, there are so many waves in the ocean. And these waves represents the raga and dvesha in our delusion. Ocean is never calm all the time. Meaning we'll never find still waters at all times. If there is a tide, you will find the ocean is just jumping up and down. There's water flowing up and down, up and down. And when that happens, we are thrown back and forth. There is chance of the whole boat to even turn upside down. So in such situation, what do? Nothing. You just have to try and stay balanced. Likewise is our raga and dosha. Our likes and dislikes, our kama, krodha, loha, moha, these all cause a great upheaval within us. And they make us suffer. And finally, sharks. In the ocean, we find sharks who are ready to devour us. Likewise, the sharks of raga and dvesha, the likes and dislikes. I said there are waves of likes and dislikes, but actually the waves are more of these emotions that are there within us. These, the turbulence of the mind, the agitations of the mind, the confusion. These are things which are really the waves. And the likes and dislikes are the sharks. Ready to take us down at any time. The moment we feel like we have conquered our like, there comes another feeling. And these are very difficult. So therefore, this moha is apt to be considered as ocean. Anantananda Krishna. So Ananta means infinite. Infinite in what sense? So infinite is one who is beyond space, time, and object. So devoid of space, devoid of time, and devoid of. And that's why the term used in Sanskrit, because these terminologies will come again in Advaita Makranda. The terminology used for one who is beyond time is, beyond time is Nitya. Nitya means eternal, but eternal in what sense? Eternal in the sense of time. Then, with respect to space, the word used is vibhu. Vibhu means all pervasive. But pervasion is to talk about eternality from the perspective of space. And sarvagatam. Sarvagatam means, again, all pervasive. But when we say sarvagatam, we do not mean the same all pervasiveness as we mean with the word vibhu. Here, the all pervasiveness has to do with object. And this concept will come again. So do not feel that you didn't understand. We said Ananta. Anantananda Krishna. So Bhagwan, Krishna is Ananta. Eternal. But what is meant by eternal? One who is beyond space, time, and object. In this way, and one who is Ananda. So whose nature itself is this. Ananda Swarupa. That Ananda Swarupa is none other than Bhagavan Krishna. Now, interesting enough, Swayam Prakasheti Ji's Ishta Devata is Lord Shiva, and Lakshmidhar Kavi's Ishta Devata is Lord Krishna. And we find many places where Lord Shiva is the Bhakta of Lord Vishnu, and Lord Vishnu is a Bhakta of Lord Shiva. So how mutually they are connected with each other. We can find that beauty. It is a side way. It's not really mentioned here or anything like that, but just a correlation with that. Anyways, so Anantananda Krishnaya and Jagat. So Jagat means the world, which is people of the world, and it is Mangalam Murti, so a form of auspiciousness. So the form which is able to increase the sukha of the beings. This is the form of Bhagavan, and to that form is the prostration. This is shloka number one. Now we said this is Mangala shloka. It is to invoke the auspiciousness. So there are certain hidden things here also. One is auspiciousness is invoked by remembering Bhagavan. Krishna, by remembering the nature of God, one is invoking auspiciousness in the text. Second, Anantananda. Anantananda was also guru of Lakshmi Dharapadi. So by remembering guru, auspiciousness is invoked. And as we said, guru and God are not too different. Anantananda Krishna, both have been matched. So invoking auspiciousness to begin the text, then you are all aware of the Anubandha Chatushtaya. You know what is Anubandha Chatushtaya? Not Sadhana Chatushtaya. Sadhana Chatushtaya is Viveka Vairagya Samadhi Shikha Sampatti Moksha, that we spoke about. Anubandha Chatushtaya is four things which will bind the reader to the text. This is there in all the text. When we go to library or when we go and purchase a book, what do? We flip the back and we read what is there in the back. And then when we read the back, we get an idea. Okay, this is what the text is about. This interests me. Let's read this. If it doesn't interest you, what do? You just put the book back. That's why, you know, in mission, what do? If there's a yajna or something that's going to happen, we have a wording about the text. The reader is aware of what the text is going to be about. And then they will come and be adjoined to the text. Likewise is the technique used here. So, Anubandha Chatushtaya, first is, who is the rightful reader of this text? So, the person who should read the text is one who is Naman. This word Naman indicates the Adhikari. So, one who has surrendered. One who has shown the willingness to drop the ego. Such people are the adhikari to read the text, to go deeper into this text. Then, prayojana, what will be the outcome of reading this text? What will one get by reading the text? Prayojana. So prayojana of the text is achanta mohaptai. For one whose moha, the ocean of delusion, gets dried up. This is the benefit of studying the text. So our delusions will completely be destroyed. After studying the text, you will never say you have a delusion. If you say you have a delusion, that means manana is still lacking. We need to do more manana. But for certain, you will never say that there is no delusion at all. I cannot deny the fact that I am not Brahman. You will walk out of this and you will say that. I am certainly convinced that I am Brahman. Whether I believe I am Brahman or not, that is a different part. That is not cleared by manana. That is only cleared by nididhyasa. So then we have to sit, do meditation, and realize I am this Brahman. But you will never say to yourself, I am not convinced if I am Brahman. I know I am Brahman. Certainly I know I am Brahman. There's nobody who can be convinced to make me think it is different. Okay. So prayojana. Delusions are destroyed. Subject. What is the topic? What will the Advaita Makaranda talk about? The Advaita Makaranda will talk about Anantananda Krishna. Anantananda, he said, is infinite bliss. This infinite bliss is spoken about in the scriptures. And this infinite bliss is my nature. And the text is going to talk about this infinite bliss. So the subject matter of this text is Jiva Brahma. And the fourth, which is Sambandha. How should I be connected with this? The connection is by reading the text, I will gain the knowledge of the self. So the text is the revealer, and the subject, which is the Anantananda, is the revealer. So that's the relation of this text. Any questions? Is this good? You are able to follow? Very simple. Alright. If you could follow, then I will give one another variation of this word Kataksha Kiranacha. This variation is given by Swayam Prakash Hetiji. What does the word Kataksha Kiranachanta can also mean? He said Kataksha Kirana means the sideways glance of the guru on the Sishya who is prostrating, which dries up the ocean of samsara. Kataksha Kirana can also mean, Kirana can mean the words that are spoken of by Kataksha, by, not Kataksha means like sarcasm, words that are spoken of by a pure mind. With the antahkarana that is going to devour the delusion. So the speech which comes from a very pure intellect, very pure mind, and this speech is going to eat up this moha. So another meaning of this is in that. A variation in the understanding. It doesn't necessarily have to mean just the side glance. What it means is the guru is going to give the words in such a way that it will easily be able to destroy my ignorance. Because sometimes people may wonder, just by the guru looking at me, will that, you know, get rid of my delusion? How will I be able to know this truth? So kataksha kirana can also mean is a very sharp speech that cuts through delusion like a knife through butter. In this way, also kataksha kirana. And kataksha kirana also can mean is the knowledge which is placed in the scriptures, Vedanta, Upanishad. That knowledge is what will be told to the sishya. So that knowledge is going to destroy the moha. So in this way, a variation of just this word kataksha kirana chanta also is present. So the understanding is that my prostration to Bhagavan, by whose side glance or by whose piercing thoughts or words the moha, the delusion, is clearly destroyed. One who is the abode of infinite bliss and one who is the auspicious form for this world, for the people of the world, who gives sukha to the people. How does he give sukha? Not by simply, you know, giving grace to them, but with knowledge, who gives sukha to this form is a prostration. We pause here, and next week we can go into the connection from verse 1 to verse 2. Any questions, thoughts, comments?
Hariyam Thirinji, I had a question from the previous class.
Yes.
On the Mangalacharan verse 3, it says, Padakanja Rajo Ravihi. So, you need clarification. Is that dust from the feet is sun, or the knowledge we gain is from, you know, surrendering to the guru, prostrating, that knowledge we get is Ravi, or is the dust itself is Ravi?
Here, the dust itself is Ravi.
So, is it like comparing that surrendering?
Yes. Where is this shining? Where is the shining? The shining is at the dust of the lotus feet.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's do the prayer and we can. Om Purnamadam Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om. Hari Om.
Hari Om, Dhiranji. Thank you.